This is the Order of Battle.
Wanted to do a quick review slash conversation about Jason's first trip to a toy show since all of the COVID-19 slash cancellations. So this past weekend, Jason hit Kentuckiana. I was trying to pull some strings and make it there. Unfortunately, it just did not work out for me, but I got the joy of living through Jason through pictures and texts. All right, Jason, so you went up Friday. Just give me a quick rundown of load-in type situation. Like, were you guys able to set up Friday night? What was the scene?
We normally try and get there early enough to meet up with some friends, have lunch, hang out before load-in starts. This time, we pushed that a bit, and so we ended up on the road at like 5:30 in the morning. It's only a 2.5-3 hour drive. We got there incredibly early. Once there, we realized, because of COVID, everything's still shut down. So none of the restaurants that we normally go to are open, not even for takeout, right? It's not like we're trying to go sit in a restaurant just to get takeout, not there.
So you can't eat. You can't load in because it's too early. I know that you guys are both busybodies. I know there's no way you sat in the parking lot of the hotel waiting. What do you guys do?
We met up with the other guy from Nashville that was following us up there, Ryan. The three of us then hooked up with Greg and Natalie from Indiana, and we hit the Louisville Antique Toy Mall. It takes an hour or two to walk through. Generally has a lot of great stuff in antiques as well as a lot of toys. Something that size isn't going to be just G.I. Joe, so you get to see everything from toy soldiers from the 40s all the way to, you know, modern stuff you can find at Target today. After that, we hit Toy Crazy, which is a tiny closet of a toy shop, but it is rammed from floor to ceiling, every nook and cranny with toys. Not only are we wearing our masks everywhere, but in Toy Crazy, they took all our temperatures when we went in and gave us gloves and had us refresh gloves if we were touching our face or anything so that we could dig through the toys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're all just trying to do what is reasonably safe while still being outside of our homes and our immediate families.
Before we continue rolling with kind of these stories, I realize that we never acknowledged who the guy you rolled in with, which was Todd from Destro's Toy Den, your normal show right-hand man.
The Toy Den in Order of Battle on the road again.
Did you hit any other stores before you guys had to head into load-in?
After Toy Crazy, where CD met up with us for a quick moment, we went and grabbed Subway, headed back to the hotel just in time for load-in. Greg and Natalie set up there a bit. Steve set up sibling rivalry with Dana and Matt, and Todd, Ryan, CD, and I set up Destro's Toy Den. We worked quick so that we could then go around and spy on what Roma had and everybody else had, as well as an enormous amount of chatting. Everybody was wearing their masks appropriately and elbow bumping instead of hugging, which is always awkward when you're seeing people that you love and look forward to seeing every year. But we did what we had to do.
So you guys got set up. I'm sure you had a break. Was there some sort of preview night, I think, on Friday?
Kentuckiana does do a preview night on Fridays, and it was rammed. not rammed in the non-COVID year sense, but a lot busier than I anticipated. I really expected kind of a dead show, and it wasn't. People came out. You know, some people had on gloves, everybody had on a mask, some people had on face shields. Some people were grumbling about it, but we all did what we had to do to keep ourselves and each other safe to actually have a show, which is, as far as I know, the first one we've had this year.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. Let me ask a question that I think I might know the answer to. I could be wrong. Did you grab anything on preview night?
Surprisingly, I did. Greg and Todd know about A's Iron Vipers, and Greg had a ton of accessory pack missile launchers and three or four scrap irons. I went over and dug all of those out while just generally chatting with them anyway, and then went back about my business of conversing instead of shopping. Including after the preview night closed, there was a big lobby swap. Normally, this show has room trading, but with COVID to consider, not a lot of people were comfortable with just inviting a bunch of random strangers to come and sit on their beds and things like that. So we did a lobby swap instead. That was hugely successful, but I didn't get a single thing out of that either.
Now, I am shocked because I thought for sure the answer to did you get anything on Friday was no. I did all my shopping at the end of the day on Saturday. And not because you're deal hunting, but because you're doing you.
Absolutely. And I did all of my shopping late Saturday, like 2 hours before the show closed, except for that one little bit.
Let's roll right into Saturday. Doors open. How's the crowd? Is it a steady stream? Is it semi-busy? I'm assuming if Friday was bumping, then Saturday must have been bumping.
The show closes at 4 p.m. on Saturday, and until about 1:30, it was jumping. And again, I expected tumbleweeds, but it wasn't. I don't run the show, so I haven't seen the numbers, but I don't think it was as crowded as last year or the year before. But all things considered, I would say that was a packed show. Everybody I talked to made money, and everybody I talked to brought home good hauls.
I have tried to task you with finding me two items, which we had no luck with.
I kind of had luck.
Well, so one of these items was a 12-inch figure. In the 2000s, they re-released what was called the Black Widow Rendezvous set, and they changed it to the Black Spider Rendezvous set, and the club produced a figure in the final 12. I've talked about it a million times. It's what sparked my whole adventure team thing. But all that being said, I figured if there was one place to find that figure without having to pay for shipping, it would be there. And technically speaking, you found the OG.
I found a couple, like three or four OGs. All of them loose, but they had their helmets. They had the pack. They were looking sharp.
And they all go for about 4 to 5 times what the sealed 2000s rendition goes for.
You would have had to come out a couple bills, yes.
And that's not where I was trying to go. The other thing I was trying to have you find, which I didn't necessarily think that it would be there, just due to the nature of the show kind of being a split bill of 12-inch, vintage 3 3/4. And I know it's getting a little bit more heavy on the modern stuff, but I want the Old Snake and Stealth Bat 3-pick. I kept it short because you're not really a modern guy. You're certainly not a 12-inch guy. You know, it'd be the same thing as if, you know, if you gave me a list of vintage shows to look for and sent me into the wild, I would have to FaceTime you or Skype you or something and be like, I can't send you 1,000 pictures right now. This is what he's got. This is the price. What do you want?
I didn't see Old Snake loose or carded. And in the 12-inch line, all the things that you and I have drooled over, I found most of them, both loose and sealed. Whew, there's a lot of cheap 12-inch. That's not what you and I have been drooling over.
Yeah, naturally, you and I, being the people that we are, can't land on anything in anything that we do that's on the lower end.
There's also a lot of great customizers and custom 12-inch stuff. But, you know, that also has that hefty customizer price because it's not like they did an LBC, maybe a wash over, you know, some spots to give it the grime. they're actually sewing and building equipment and things like that.
That's something that I think you and I will talk about in another episode, because we had like a really lengthy conversation a week ago. Let's talk about what you got before we close up this conversation on Kentuckiana. So you got the scrap iron.
I ended up with around 20 missile launchers, 3 or 4 scrap irons, including a Fun School scrap iron, all for A. Grabbed a loose Balrog, which none of his equipment, but he was so cheap loose that I couldn't walk past him, and a couple other loose figs for A. I grabbed one of the 2 domestic Sky Strikers I needed, the 2011, which we will not set up until I get a stand for it and a pilot for it. So we'll talk more about that once I have those 2 things in-house, because I'm going to have to rearrange that display just a little bit. And I still don't have the scythe, which you and I have talked about.
The 2011 Sky Striker is the modern re-release, the first introduction of the Sky Striker in the modern field.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
I'm looking at the picture you sent me, cheating a little bit, which we will post. So I see a little Creo set in the background.
That is the tactical battle platform, but it has the wrong Creons, and it doesn't have the 2 vehicles that came with the platform. But A has never been a Lego kid, so it was a very small, cheap grab from a buddy, just as a test the waters. He built it, he loves it, he's asking for more Creo. I'm down to go down that road, but only if it's cheap, because I don't expect him to live with it long. So I will wait to find those sort of lot deals, or maybe missing one piece deal, or the box is ruined but the instructions are there, that kind of thing.
That, I think, is a safe plan, because I think what's actually crazy is more of the Creons, the individual Creons, seem to fetch more money than some of the playsets.
A little bit.
Especially the blind bag in the later series.
And if A does get into Creo G.I. Joe in a heavy way and plays with it a lot and wants more of it, Creo also did a battleship set that the figures look well with Joe's. And there's a guy who does customized G.I. Joe Lego vehicles. They're not cheap, but, you know, he's sourcing the parts and the instructions, so I don't expect them to be cheap. I would love to go down that line. We both have talked about how much I like Lego, but if A's not into it, I cannot invest that kind of time and money.
I have a couple of those battleship sets, and they are perfect. They're perfect add-ins. They're just military vehicles, but they're like a little bit sci-fi. So is there anything else notable from your haul that you want to talk about? Or
the thing that excited me the most, I was able to find and grab the black G.I. Joe fanny pack, which I know is silly, but it's a great accessory, especially walking around a show. And you will see me wearing it across my chest if you see me at Joe Fest.
So I'm zooming in on this fanny pack, and I see 3 characters, which I can only identify 2 because I can read the names, but I could have identified them without reading the names. We got V2 Rock and Roll, Stalker. Who is the mystery man?
It's Backblast, because it's still 1989, and so that's who they threw with Rock and Roll and Stalker. Iconic, iconic, new guy.
Let's just wrap this up. It was just Jason who went to the show. I don't have a lot to add. We've kind of went through what he got, his experience. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and checking out this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
I got Steven from Joburg in my head yelling that fanny pack means vagina pack.